darling's gone, though she did not die. It's a long gone out west blues, long gone out west blues. I hear them say there's a better west, full of milk and rain and all that's left. In a wine to find, though I'll search and mourn, it's a long gone out west blues. I'll ride till my horse can ride no more, then I'll trade my ride for an acre square. But the lot I trade for love and kind, it's a long gone out west blues, long gone out west blues. No more lonesome, and I'll be home, though in years before I was alone, and the trees may greener pastures now. It's a long gone out west blues, gone out west for the mountain breeze. All them high steel plains are killing me, where the wild still roam and the trees grow high. It's a long gone out west blues, long gone out west blues.
Farris and Jason Romero bring their beautiful harmonies and old-time banjo and guitar tunes to Kitchener on Friday, September the 12th, for a Folkway Music hosted show at the Registry Theatre. They released their recent album, Long Gone Out West Blues, in early 2013 to critical acclaim, the album garnering several awards while making it to the top of many end-of-year best-of lists. Long Gone Out West Blues features an array of songs that blend old and new while telling stories about ageless characters, hard lives, love, and loss. We caught up with Farris and Jason at home in BC. So it's great to talk to you both today.
Hi there.
Hi there.
Now, you're out in BC, and I thought probably it would be a good way to start just to talk about how Farris and Jason got together, because you have an interesting story and you have created this beautiful, beautiful music. We're very much looking forward to seeing you in Ontario. But I thought let's start by talking about how you got together and why you decided you wanted to play music together.
Oh, well, I would say music brought us together in the first place. We met at an old-time fiddle jam in Victoria, where I was living at the time, and Jason had driven up from California on his way to a fly fishing trip, and he took a detour to Victoria to meet me as per a dobro playing friend of ours who some of your listeners are probably familiar with, Ivan Rosenberg. And he'd been talking both of us up to each other for about a year before we met, and he was right.
Yeah.
When Jason came and to Victoria, we met, and we were married 2.5 months later, and so it was definitely pretty much love at first sight. And you know, we didn't sing together before we got married. We definitely played a lot of music together, a lot of old-time music. Both of us played fiddle, and me playing guitar and Jason playing banjo. And then the singing came a little bit later, especially working on the original tunes together as we've gotten to know each other better, I guess, over the years.
Your last album, which is Long Gone Out West Blues, has had a phenomenal reception. It's an album that when you put it on, and I had to do this because I'm preparing for an interview, I want to pick some songs to play. Well, you put it on and listen, it's like, how do you pick the one song that you want to start with? We decided in the end to go with the title track, but you must be really thrilled with the reception that album has gotten, released to critical acclaim, and I think it garnered several awards and made it to the top 10 of many people's end-of-year list. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I'm just completely excited. I mean, it's when you throw your heart and soul into a recording. You really are hoping that folks are going to like it. So when you find out that people do, it feels really, really good.
We feel so lucky because we get to live in this tiny little town, you know, way off the beaten track. And then because of the response that we've gotten from folks for the record, we get to leave and go and travel around the world and play music all over the place. And it's a little surreal. It's really wonderful.
Do you think that actually living in that beautiful part of the world, I think, what, you're 7 hours north of Vancouver, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
Do you think that really helps with the sort of music that you're creating? I'm just wondering, so much of an album is much more than just the songs that you put together. I think there's that sort of mystical aspect of creating a record that comes into play. And I just wonder, if you're living in a part of the world where you are and you're doing what you want to do, whether that really helps create something that has that uniqueness, that it allows it to go beyond a lot of what other pieces of recorded music can achieve.
I wonder, you know, it's hard to say how much, I'm not exactly sure how much our environment has an impact on us that way. I would say probably, maybe the thing that has the greatest impact on us is the fact that we are, as you mentioned, living where we do. We're happy on a daily basis, and we have a good time together, and I think that has a huge impact on the music that we make, and the fact that we spend 24/7 together. I think that sort of adds quite a bit to it too. We end up, you know, completing each other's sentences and thinking the same thing at the same time fairly often, and that's actually our 10-month-old daughter you can hear in the background there. So there's a lot of time spent together, and I think that has a big impact on the music that we play.
Yeah, I would agree with everything Fair said. I definitely think that living where we do affects and impacts, overall how I feel on a daily basis, but definitely the music. I'm so drawn to just the beauty and the space that you get when you live in a place like this. And, you know, when I think back about the music, a lot of this music, when it was the old stuff I'm talking about, the stuff that Ferris and I both really love, and the 20s and 30s, you know, a lot of life all over North America was rural. And so I sometimes make that connection with us loving this music that came from a time when a lot of other folks lived in isolated places or just, you know, out in the woods somewhere.
So did you both grow up with old-time music? I mean, is that how you got into it? I always wonder if it's whether deciding that you want to play with certain instruments tends to steer you in that direction, or whether it's because you were really exposed to it when you were growing up at home as children.
I grew up with, you know, Johnny Horton and Johnny Cash and Marty Robbins on my dad's side, and then Joni Mitchell and Bonnie Raitt and Led Zeppelin and the Beatles and the Stones from my mom. So I wouldn't say I grew up with any old-time music. Old country, for sure, and we sang a lot of that stuff. But I think it's been through the quest of going through the process of discovering bluegrass and then wanting to go back further and find out where that came from, and that's what brought me into old-time music. And when I first heard it, and when I first played it in particular, that sense of community, that drive for the groove all the time as opposed to the drive for fancy solos and everything, that just bit me and never let go. And I think it's probably similar for you, hon, hey?
Yeah, I definitely didn't grow up listening to this style of music. In fact, if you'd have played this for me, for most of my youth, I would have been like, what the heck is that stuff? But I, you know, I came there through the instrument. The instrument took me to the music more than listening, even though, you know, when I was younger and getting into the, you know, classic rock, I always wanted to know, well, where did they get their material? And it always took me back to the 20s and 30s. I just grown to really love this. I think it's an acquired taste for a lot of folks, especially the real kind of early raw stuff that Ferris and I love, which really influences our music now, the stuff that Ferris is writing and my banjo style and stuff like that. But no, I definitely did not grow up with this music. But I am obsessed with it now.
From a songwriting point of view, you write together and separately. Does that help in your relationship as part of a musical duo, the fact that you both have your own identities, but you can actually come together and work on songs together? I mean, is that the way it works? I'm just, you know, looking at the credits on the album. Is that the way that things happen?
Yeah, I would say most often we'll each have, you know, the basic structure or even the full structure of a song and then bring it to the other one to refine and work on and put our together stamp on it. And, you know, there's things where I'll bring a song to Jason and he'll go, nope, that's not for us. Or he'll have a banjo tune in mind and I'll go, no, I don't think that's for us. Maybe that would be for a bigger band or something. So we definitely do have our own identities, and I think that's a strength rather than a separation between the two of us.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. And then, you know, the art of the duet is always going to change what songs may work in a live situation, because we have a lot of songs with Ferris will write an amazing song, but we definitely feel like, well, that's, you know, that's a band song. So that definitely steers what kind of material we feel like we can pull off, for one, in a recording and then also live. And we like to keep those two sounds the same.
Well, when you bring up the subject of the duet, you know, one of the things that people speak about when they're listening to your music and reviewing it is the wonderful harmonies that you create together. And obviously, that is, again, one of those, I would imagine, one of those mystical things we don't fully understand, that how you, as individuals, ended up coming together and deciding, obviously, not just to play music together, but to make your lives together. Can you talk about that aspect of it? Because it always fascinates me how well people can harmonize together. And I don't know if that's just because, I think, Faris, you mentioned about how you may finish each other's sentences and how in tune you are. And I don't know, is that a lot of what makes singing together so apparently easy for those of us watching?
Oh, thanks for saying that.
It's easy for one of us.
Yeah. because I grew up singing with a family band, and so I have two sisters who are great singers, and a brother who's a great singer, and my dad who's a great singer, my mom is a great singer too. I grew up singing harmony, and so that's like a second thing for me. I would way rather be singing with somebody else than by myself at any time, pretty much. But you know, when Jason and I met, he didn't really sing at all. He sang a little bit of tenor in a bluegrass band back in California, but that was about it. And so.
I've had to work at it.
Yeah, for him it doesn't always seem the natural thing, but I actually think he's an incredibly natural singer, and that's part of the joy in it, is that things don't seem, they don't sound like everything else, because Jason's not going with a set like a bluegrass model or a specific, you know, an SATB model or anything like that, where he's saying, okay, this is what the harmony should be, so this is what I'm going to sing. He does it from his gut, and just these really unusual, really special things come out because of that. And I love that. I think it's pretty wonderful. And I think because we both listen to so much of the same music, that natural harmonic sound is going to come out when you spend a lot of time listening. You're going to be influenced by it.
Yeah, and I think we got kind of lucky with just kind of a matching timbre in our voices, where you know, just sometimes that we can get that great sound of a you know, like a sibling duet. So we got lucky there.
Can we talk a little bit about the live show? You mentioned that you live in this beautiful part of the world. The album itself, the most recent album, Long Gone Out West Blues, has done so well that you're in a situation where you can enjoy this wonderful life at home and then head out to festivals and shows across the country. But give us an idea of what people will expect when they come to a show that's put on by Faris and Jason.
Well, we love to play the music that's on our records, definitely, and it's got that sense of close intimacy, that same sense. We stand really close to each other on stage. Often we're singing into one microphone, singing and playing into one microphone, sometimes depending on the venue, a few microphones, but even then we like to keep the microphones really close to each other. People often tell us that there's just a real sense of intimacy and closeness that you can sense between the two of us when you're watching us playing.
Yeah, and we kind of need folks to come to us a little bit in our show. You know, we're not jumping up and down and playing loudly. So yeah, I think we're able to get a nice sense of intimacy, and theaters are our ideal venue.
We love playing in theaters.
We love playing in theaters because that's where we feel like folks are able to just sit and listen.
Yeah, we love talking about, you know, where we got the music, because we love this music so much. So we will definitely, you know, give some background behind what we're playing or what we're writing and our lives in the banjo business. And we tend to talk a little bit on stage, and that makes us feel good too.
Now, your albums, I think, tend to be a mix of your own music as well as some traditional songs. And obviously, there is this huge well of traditional material out there. Do you tend to blend that in your concerts as well?
Yep, it'll be both original and traditional music, some banjo instrumentals. And then we do like some real classic old time tunes like Hang Me and Mole in the Ground and those kind of things that we think songs we've never recorded, but ones we absolutely love to play live.
Yeah.
So we'll definitely keep those in as part of the live show too.
Yeah.
And any chance we get for, you know, Jason to play banjo is a good thing in my mind. I love it. And, you know, all the banjos that we're traveling with are ones that have come out of our home workshop, too. So that's really closely linked the banjo business and the music that we're playing as well.
So let's talk about the banjo business, because that is basically what you do, right? When you're not making music. Your banjos go all over the world. Is that how things are for you just now?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, we have quite a long wait list right now for orders, and I've been so lucky enough to work myself into a situation where we're considered one of the best kind of boutique high-end banjo makers in the world, and we're able to live out in a place like this, and we ship all over the world. I mean, we have to drive an hour before to ship it, but we Ferris and I just are in the shop together. It's a little different now with the baby, but Ferris does all the mother pearl work on the banjos, and I do all the woodworking. And
you know, I got to say, your life sounds so romantic and idyllic, and you're allowed to laugh at this point because I'm sure there are other moments. And we're very lucky. You will be in Ontario and, you know, close to home. People can come out to the Registry Theatre, the beautiful Registry Theatre in Kitchener on Friday, September the 12th, to see you. And that's, I think, a Folkway Music hosted show as well. So obviously they will be thrilled, as they do focus on stringed instruments, to be able to bring you in for this show.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to checking out their store.
We've been admiring their store for quite a while.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they'll be very pleased to show that to you. What does the future hold? I mean, basically more of the same?
Well, we are planning on recording another album in November. And we're going to do it here in the banjo shop. So that's the immediate future. And then we have some tours in Scotland and Ireland and hopefully Sweden and Norway next summer. And I don't know, it's kind of hard to look past that.
Well, that sounds like you have an awful lot on your plate. I wanted to thank you for spending the time to talk to us today. If people want to learn more about your music, how should they do that?
The easiest way would be to come and visit our website at ferrisandjason.com. They can also check out the banjos at romerobanjos.com, and those two are pretty quickly linked to each other. Or, you know, shoot us an email, or, you know, if you're coming through Horsefly, come and visit. We always welcome folks to come and check out the banjo workshop.
I wanted to thank you for spending the time to talk to us today. We're going to play another song from Long Gone Out West Blues, and I'm going to let you introduce that. What are we going to play?
Well, let's play a song that I wrote while I was out on a cross-country skiing trip one day out behind our house here. This is a song I was thinking about wild animals that lived around here, and the song popped into my head. So this song is called I Want to Be Lucky.
And that's a perfect way to finish this interview. Ferris and Jason, I wanted to thank you for sharing the time with us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall. This is Ferris and Jason and the beautiful I Want to Be Lucky.
See that time with the way
like no time here, and a good time like no time here. Too much honey in this world to lose that time with the way we girl, or the rich time like no time here, and a good time like no time here. All these strange foreign games, going where the wind blows, coming out from who knows, they go up.
Lucky.